Well, this evening, we're back in our series from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29 is where we're up to so far, and it contains within this chapter a letter from Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon. Therefore, comes as no surprise, the sermon is entitled Letter to the Exiles. Jeremiah 29 verse 1 tells us specifically who the letter was directed to. It reads, this is the text of the letter from the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So the letter was sent to all the elders, the priests, and others in exile. And within the letter, Jeremiah addresses the issues faced by those in exile. We learned back in Jeremiah 25, did we not, that they would remain captive for 70 years. Their stay in Babylon was to be a lengthy one. However, this was disputed. False prophets, not those called by God, provoked unrest amongst the people. They contested Jeremiah's claims and they spoke lies in God's name. So Jeremiah's basic response to the exiles was to settle in for the long haul. But at the same time, they should know that God has not forgotten them. And then you'll notice in verse 4 that God takes responsibility for this exile. Look there. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Babylon is not where these Jews want to be, but it is where they can be found. Surely they wanted to return to Jerusalem. They didn't want to be in Babylon. But they needed to remain patient. False prophets were causing unrest. But they had to be patient, and they had to be patient for a long time. God had promised them restoration, but this promise was to be fulfilled. It wouldn't be fulfilled in 2 years, like the false prophet Hananiah said, but instead it would be fulfilled in 70 years. So I guess the first thing that we can learn as Christians is that we need to be patient. We need to be patient when waiting for future blessings. We need to be patient when waiting and longing for the return of Christ. And as we wait for these realities, these future blessings, remember this: God has put you where you are right now, and he wants you there. He doesn't want you to be agitated and impatient. He wants you to know that he is sovereign. He wants you to know that he's got it all under control. We must listen to him. We must trust in him. We must give our lives to him. Now, I appreciate that can sometimes be easier said than done. But the reality is we must. You know, perhaps you're in a job you don't like, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mum. Perhaps you're retired. Maybe everything is just becoming such a burden to you. If it's not COVID, then it's the cost of living crisis. If it's not the war in Ukraine, then it's about keeping warm in winter. If it's not the sun at the seaside, then it's the sewage in the sea. Everything in this world appears negative. And the world we live in is messed up. But we're not to worry. We're not to worry about it. Instead, we're to trust in God to provide a solution, to trust in him, perhaps to improve your home situation. Don't get desperate and panic. Don't become agitated and worry. Recognize that God is sovereign in the matter and just keep going. Be patient and recognize God's control over every detail in your life. So what should we do while we're waiting for these future promised blessings? Well, first of all, you must recognize that God is sovereign over your situation. He has you where he wants you right now. And he'll make sure you get to where you need to go. And whilst we wait for these future blessings, God gives four clear instructions. In Jeremiah's letter, God tells his people four further things. We had four this morning, we've got four this evening. These are, number one, make the best of now. Number two, do not listen to lies. Number three, know the plans that I have for you. Number four, hear my words and trust in me alone. That's God speaking, not me. So God's plans for the exiles are clearly laid out. So let's consider the first of these in more detail. Turn with me to the first one. Make the best of now. Look at verses 5 through to 7. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. The Jewish people were here in Babylon by the will of God. He was bringing judgment on Judah for their generations of rebellion. So God tells the Jewish people to build houses and to settle down. They were to settle down because they were going to be in Babylon a long time. Therefore, they needed to make the best of their lives and families there. So in verse 5, they're told to build houses and plant gardens. And the houses, they obviously would provide shelter, and the gardens would give them some food. I guess basically they were there to provide for themselves. Importantly though, God was still going to help them in these. He wasn't going to thwart their efforts to make the best of what they had. But by providing for themselves, God was allowing them some freedom. And this suggests the exiles were neither slaves nor prisoners in their new land. Then look what God commands them to do next in verse 6. God wants the Jewish people to multiply in Babylon. Exile didn't mean that God forgot about them or wanted to destroy them. He didn't want them to dwindle in captivity. He wanted them to increase. Remember, his plan was for them to return to Judah after 70 years. Again, he wanted them to make the best of what they had. So they were told to marry and have children. They were told, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. They were called by God to increase in number and not to decrease. Now, God wants Christian parents to raise children up in the knowledge of God. He has much to say about how parents and children should treat each other. Family life for a believer is crucial. Now more than ever, it would seem. How our kids turn out will affect us as individuals, as a church, and it will also affect the testimony of Jesus Christ. As parents, we have a responsibility to nurture their understanding of God. We have the responsibility of showing God's love in all that we do for them. As Christians waiting for future blessings, we should not ignore our families. There is work to do in our families. We shouldn't ignore it. God does not despise this kind of work. He emphatically endorses it. But let's be clear, getting married and having children is not the sole mission. It's not the sole mission of God's church. Everyone has a role in his mission. So if you are without children or you're not married, then don't despair, because we'll see later on that God knows the plans that he has for you. Lastly, look what God calls the Jewish people to do in verse 7. He calls them to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. God wants them to seek peace in the Babylonian community and to do good. He wants them to do good and be a blessing to their Babylonian neighbors. They're to promote the well-being of the Babylonians and to pray for them. God is concerned about their welfare of this pagan city. And he's equally concerned for the individuals and the communities as a whole. Praying for these pagan people would affect their own lives in a positive way. The prayers of the exiles on behalf of the Babylonians assumes that God is present and active in the lives of those who do not acknowledge him. God's work will be effective among them for good, even if they don't realize it. For this reason, God wanted them to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. As Christians today, we're called to do the same. We need to seek the peace and prosperity of the town of Clay Cross. We need to seek the peace and prosperity of the areas in which we all live. But let's be clear again, that's not to the detriment of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should pray for those around us and hope that the Lord saves them. We should seek to build relationships with them and share the good news. These are all things God wants us to do while we're waiting for these future blessings. So let's make the best of what we have now. Let's do good, let's live honourably, and seek where it is possible. I think for the Jewish people in Babylon, the emphasis seemed to be survival. Live out these 70 years, because after that, a return to Judah awaits. And whilst they wait, they're also commanded, don't listen to the lies. That leads us to the second point tonight. Oh, there we go. Do not listen to the lies. Nothing good comes from listening to lies. All they simply do will throw you off the path that God has for you. Look at verses 8 and 9. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. So in our passage, the lies are coming from these supposed prophets. Men who were supposed to be speaking God's word to God's people were indeed speaking to them, but they weren't speaking God's words, they were speaking their own words. They were pushing their own ideas, their own theories onto the people. And we've already seen that these false prophets were back in action back in Jeremiah 27 and in 28. These false prophets, they were telling the people that exile would last just 2 years. But that's not the case. That's not what God said. And by believing in these lies, it leads us to start living out these lives. I think I can remember being told once growing up, you know, if you tell a lie enough, eventually it becomes the truth, or you think it becomes the truth, you start living it out. We shouldn't be listening to lies and deceit. We should be sticking to what we know. Because when you don't believe the truth, you're unlikely to practice the truth. So if the exiles believed this message, they were unlikely to listen to God. They'd have been unlikely to have done what he'd asked of them already. They were unlikely to trust in God's sovereignty or to make the best of now. The truth is, it's the same for us today. Whilst we, as Christians, wait for the future blessings, we must ignore the lies. We must ignore the false practice of others. The false practice which seeks to disrupt us. Now, you might have people advising you to do something God wouldn't. The world around us and the society we live in is full of ungodly advice, empowerment. Do things for yourself. Don't be weak. Be strong. All that type of jargon that we hear. We have this advice constantly thrown at us. But it's advice that we must resist. Instead, we must do what we know God wants us to do based on his words. So whilst we're waiting for our future blessings, let's not listen to the lies. Let's not listen to the lies, which will inevitably cause us to stumble and fall. Instead, let's think about what God has in store for us in the future, which leads us to the third point tonight. Know the plans I have for you. Look at verses 10 through to 14. This is what the Lord says. and 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. As previously promised by God through Jeremiah, the exiles wouldn't be held captive in Babylon beyond 70 years. God promised a time when it would end, but it wasn't going to be for a while. It'd be a long while before God would bring them back to this place. But in contrast, the false prophets promised a quick return, but these were lies. God had had a promise for his people. It wasn't just the promise that the false prophets brought. God had a plan, and he knew the plan he had for the exiled Jews in Babylon. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In Jeremiah's letter, God wanted to remind them of the plans he has, because they either didn't know it already, or because they did not remember. An important point worth mentioning is this: God thinks about us. In Psalm 40, David pondered the thoughts of God upon his people. Psalm 40, verse 5, let me read it. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. God knows the plans for us. And through Jeremiah's letter, he reassures us. And what were these plans which God had for his exiled people? Well, God planned for them to prosper and for them not to come upon any harm. These exiled Jews lived in the experience of God's judgment upon their nation. It was easy for them to think that God was against them and that he perhaps intended evil. But through Jeremiah, God assures his people that this is not the case. He wanted them to prosper. He didn't want them to come to any harm. And on top of this, he planned to give them a hope and a future. God has a hope and a future for his people when they suffer in exile, even when they hurt under deserved discipline or judgment. But the devil, you see, he aims to rob God's people of their sense of hope and future for them. Through his deceit and lies, the devil tries to influence us away from God. But God knows this. So he does not abandon his people. He reassures them. And look what he says to his people in verses 12 and 13. They read, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Although his people were still in exile, God would still listen when they prayed. And their prayer and God's answers were part of their hope and their future. God would not hide from his people when they sought him. They would not suffer under a sense that God could not be found. Their seeking and God's revealing were also part of their hope and a future. And when they found God, look what he declares in verse 14. I will be found by you, and I will bring you back from captivity. Not only would God bless them and be with them in Babylon, but he'd allow his people to eventually return to his promised land. So it's important to remember that God has a plan for each of us. We need to make the best of now, not be distracted by lies. We must remember the plans that God has for us and listen to his words. That leads us to the final point this evening. Hear my words and trust in me. speaking to those who did not go into exile, look what it says in verses 17 to 20. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like poor figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles, whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Notice that these people didn't submit to God's authority. They resisted God's message and didn't surrender to Babylon. They remained in Jerusalem and lived under their own authority. So God decides to send the sword, famine, and plague against them. He wanted those in exile to know that their fellow Jews will be punished. Time and time again, these people failed to listen to his words. Over and over again, they resisted God's message. So God promised to punish them. He promised to punish them for their ignorance and, I guess, their arrogance. He wanted to make an example of them before the exiled Jews. He didn't want the exiles to be tempted into returning to Jerusalem. He didn't want the exiles coveting what their fellow Jews now had. And there's that saying, isn't there? The grass isn't always greener on the other side. It may look as if the Jews back in Jerusalem kind of had everything. But this was not the case. And God wanted the exiles to know this. And we can have a tendency to see someone else's life. We can covet the good things that they get and ignore the negatives that they have. In our passage, God is telling the exiles, do not resist my message. Because those who resist God's message will be punished. God promises this. It's only a matter of time before it arrives. But what about us? Do we struggle with coveting people who resist God? We might look at their lives and think, golly, don't they just have it oh so easy? We might look at them and covet their riches and be envious of them. But we need to remember that God declares judgment on these people. Those who resist the gospel message will be punished for doing so. You know, as Christians, we are different. We've heard God's message of judgment for sin. We've turned from our sin and become disciples of Jesus. We've surrendered our lives to Jesus and we live for him. This message to us is simple and it's one we've heard before. Yet it is something we need to hear again and be regularly challenged upon. Don't covet the wicked. Don't be ignorant. Don't resist God's message. God is patient. Their punishment might not come to them right away, but it will certainly come. Don't ever doubt it. God keeps his promises. We're called to submit to God's authority. We're called to listen to him. We must hear his words and trust in him alone. That is the right response. So the Lord encouraged his people in exile to submit to his authority. And he did so by pointing to the punishment they would receive. Those who resist God's message will receive a punishment. That's a promise. And we also read in the remaining four verses, well, 20 through to 23, that God declares a punishment on those who contradicted his message. You know, it's bad enough to resist God's message, but to contradict it, I guess, is even worse. That's what false prophets do. And God names them here, Ahab and Zedekiah. They're the guilty ones, the ones spouting the lies here. These false prophets will be punished in the same way. They aren't exempt. The only way to avoid punishment is by submitting to God's authority. We are to listen to his words, not the words of these false prophets. We're to hear his words and listen only to him. We must trust in him. So as we draw our time together to a close, what can we take away with us from this passage in Jeremiah 29? Well, listen to these four instructions God gives us through Jeremiah. Whilst we are waiting for our future blessings, we need to, firstly, make the best of now. Settle for what you've got and keep going. Seek to find peace and prosperity within the community you live. Pray for those around you. Pray for all those who've resisted the message of God. Pray for the families within our church and in our neighborhoods. Pray that they'll bring their children up with a knowledge of who God is. Let's do good. Let's live honorably and seek peace and prosperity. Secondly, let's not believe, the lies that we might be told. Hold firm to the word of God and not be influenced by false teaching. Don't let their lies throw you off the path that God has for you. Thirdly, know the plans that God has for you. Know that you have a hope and a future. God is not an evil God who wants to bring harm down on you. On the contrary, he wants you to prosper and not to come to any harm. You know, our future is secure with Christ. We must hold firm to this truth. Which leads us to the fourth thing. We need to listen to his words and his words only. Punishment awaits all those who resist God's message. God's promises that all these people will be promised for this. He says that. But to avoid this punishment, you must put your trust in him. You must submit your life to him by repenting and believing in only him. So make the best of now. Don't believe the lies. Know the plans that our great God has for you. And believe in only his words. Amen.